Good morning, or afternoon, or whenever you are listening to this. Will you turn to John chapter 21, please? Gospel of John chapter 21. This is Easter Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the Lord rising from the dead. As Christian celebrations go, this day towers over all the others. We can't really separate Easter Sunday from the Lord's death on Friday, but our faith rests overwhelmingly on the resurrection of Jesus. And if Jesus rose from the dead more or less in the way the Gospels describe, then our faith is real and we have hope and everything is good. And it really doesn't matter what else gets shaken. That is the central event, and that's the way the Gospel was preached. And this is a very good day to celebrate. So, John 21. I have preached John 20 on Easter Sunday a few times, but I've never preached on John 21, and that's not right. Let's read the chapter, John 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. In John 20, Jesus appeared several different times. In John 21, John 20 ends with Thomas's great confession, "My Lord and my God." That's where there have been several two resurrection appearances in chapter 20, and that's where 20 ends. And so now we pick it up in chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Thus far we will read. John 20 ended the first resurrection appearances with Thomas's remarkable confession. So Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And the whole Gospel of John was aimed at that. And this time, Thomas was the first one to get it and to say it. And that is the high point of the resurrection appearances and the high point of John. Jesus is Lord and God. So John 21 tells us something important, particularly because we have just learned that Jesus is our Lord and our God. John 21 tells us this is the same Jesus. He does the same things as before he died, and we follow him now just as they followed him before. So John 21 covers different topics, but always the same things Jesus spoke about all along. The miraculous catch of fish in verses 1 to 14. This story reminds us particularly of another Jesus story, the miraculous catch of fish in Luke 5. In Luke 5, Jesus was in the boat with Peter and said, "Throw in your net." Peter said, "Teacher, we fished all night and got nothing, but at your word, I will throw the net." And he did. And Peter caught a huge net full of fish, so many fish that the net was tearing, and he had to get his partners in the other boat, James and John, sons of Zebedee, to help him. And on that day, Peter and James and John left their nets and boats and followed Jesus. So those three are all among the seven disciples here today. And here in John 21, after they got such a net full, John the beloved disciple said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So maybe John had better eyes to see who was on shore, but I think he had a better memory. And this great catch of fish after bizarre advice was all too familiar. This could only be the Lord. So John the writer assumes we know the story of Luke 5. And my point is that the resurrected Jesus, Lord and God, is the same Jesus. He does the same things. And this time, John adds, the net did not tear. So Jesus is giving them a miraculous catch of fish, but he's also giving them a signal that he's the same one who called them right at the start. In Luke 5, that's how those people begin to follow Jesus. I have to say, it's time for a fishing story. Last year, Mike took me walleye fishing one day near Hecla Island, which is as close as I will ever get to Luke 5 or 21. We kept all we could, and I should have counted how many large fish he and I threw back. I'm not much of a fisherman, but that was a lovely day. All right. Thank you, Mike. Back to John 21. So this story, Jesus helping them catch fish and the meal reminds us of some other stories. How about the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6? There also, Jesus provided a huge amount of food, all they needed, and more. And it was the same menu, bread and fish, just like the bread and fish when he fed the 5,000. And this reminds me of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana in John 4, his first miracle in John, generously providing all that was needed for the people to enjoy their meal and more. And Jesus here in John 21, Jesus served them the food. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. He waited on them. He was the waiter, cook and waiter. So this reminds me of Jesus washing the disciples' feet just before his arrest and trial. Before he was arrested, he washed their feet as a lowly servant. And here Jesus was the cook and the waiter. He made the food and he brought it to them. Folks, he's the same Jesus. He is indeed Lord and God, and he is the same Jesus as we had all through the Gospels. In Luke 22, Jesus says, "Who is greater, the one eating at the table or the one serving him? Is it not the one who is eating at the table? But I am here with you as one serving." And that was true before his resurrection, and that was true of Lord and God after his resurrection. Now, we will move here to Jesus having an important talk with Peter. But notice, first, Jesus fed them. The minute their feet hit the shore, it was ready. The fire, the fish, the bread, it was all there and ready. And after they had eaten, came the important talk. "Do you love me?" Verses 15 to 17. Picture Jesus having a conversation with you. And he asks you, "Do you love me?" Suppose Jesus shows up later today, Easter Sunday, and he calls you by your name, your full name, and he asks, "Do you love me?" How would that go? What would you say? Suppose you said yes, and he asked you again. And you said yes again, and then he asked you a third time. Well, I'll tell you, after the third time, I would not be enjoying this. There are two different Greek words for love in this conversation, but we should ignore that. John, the writer, often goes back and forth between two words when he means the same thing. Even here, Jesus uses lambs and sheep, but he means the same people. He uses feed and tend, but he means much the same thing. So the difference is not important. So Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time. But you see, Peter had denied the Lord three times. And in some way, Jesus is reinstating Peter. Jesus was somehow undoing the denials and taking Peter back. And Peter didn't get it at the time, but he probably did before very long. Notice how Jesus reinstated an apostle who had done a terrible thing. There was no penance. Peter did not have to lie face down in ashes for 3 days. He had to tell Jesus that he loved him, which for Peter was easy. He knew that he loved the Lord. And after the third time, he thought Jesus did not believe that he loved him. That caused Peter pain. And then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love me, Simon, take care of my people." Before he died, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And this is my command, that you love one another." If you love me, he said beforehand, show it by loving one another. If you love me, Peter, feed my lambs. If you love me, Peter, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. So Peter denied the Lord three times, and this conversation is a part of the healing in that relationship. And this also confirms Peter's leadership role in a very kind way. In this way, the Lord makes clear that Peter shall be a shepherd, an overseer of the flock. But notice this too. Jesus himself has just finished feeding his sheep. Jesus fed his sheep. Breakfast on the shore there by the fire. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. What happened just before this conversation? Jesus fed the disciples. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Take care of them, Peter, the way I took care of you. By our deaths we glorify God, verses 18 and 19. Imagine the Lord when he shows up with you later today. He also tells you how you are going to die. We all know that we will die, but we try not to think about it. Even though we do think about it often enough, we don't like the thought of it, but it is still there. So the Lord shows up with you and comes right out with it. He tells you and me how we will die. And it is not what we wanted to hear. It does not feel like good news. What is clear is that Jesus is telling Peter how he would die and that Peter did not like it. What kind of death Jesus means is not clear to us. But Peter got it, and he was not pleased. And this scripture does tell us, you and me, how to think about death. And that's a good thing. Jesus told Peter the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Apparently, many kinds of death would glorify God. This, my brothers and sisters, is what we need to grab. For each of us, our particular way to die is a way to glorify God. Let's view our own death like that. Dying is a way to glorify God. When we think about our own deaths, let's say, this will be my way to glorify God. Paul has a line like this too in Philippians 1. He says, "Now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." So we here, we present our bodies to God as living sacrifices. That's part of our Lord's Supper. Paul tells us we can exalt Christ with our bodies both by living and by dying. "Now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." So Jesus also thought like this about himself. In John 12, Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But this hour is why I came. Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name." Jesus' death is a way to glorify God. We could pray like this when our death looms. "And now, God, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. May your will be done, Father. Use my death to glorify your name." Okay? Can you talk about death this way? "And now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. May your will be done, Father. Use my death to glorify your name." Most of us do not know how we will die. What we do know is that it is a chance to bring glory to God and to exalt Christ. Many followers of Christ have died in many different ways and done just this. They have brought glory to God and exalted Christ. By the death of our bodies, we will glorify God and exalt Christ. Jesus said, "Follow me." This is the same thing Jesus has been saying all along. He still says, "Follow me," in Canada in 2021. Peter's been following a long time, but Jesus still says, "Follow me, Peter." So the risen Lord says, "Follow me." Following Christ includes death. And the key, my brothers and sisters, to living well and dying well is to follow Jesus, who died and rose. If I want him to live, what's it to you? Follow me. Verses 22 and 23. Twice in these verses we read, "If I want him to remain alive." Let's talk about want. What Peter wanted and what the Lord wanted. Jesus told Peter, "When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want." And then Jesus said, "If I want something else for him, what is that to you? You follow me." Do you know believers who have easier lives than you have? You have to drink a cup they don't have to drink. The Lord says to us, if I want something else for them, what is that to you? Follow me. And Peter might have said, but Lord, I don't want to die that way. And the Lord would have said, I know that, Peter, but this is what I want for you. You follow me. Things happen to us that are not what we want. We don't want this. Peter did not want this, but the Lord wanted it for Peter, and that's how it would be with Peter. This does not make Jesus hard-hearted, people. He's not asking anything of Peter that his father did not ask of him. This is the same Jesus who thought about his own death and said, and now my soul is troubled. He wanted to be saved from his hour of death, and the Father wanted something else. The Father wanted him to drink that cup. This is the very same Jesus that arrived very early to make a fire and bake some bread and some fish. The same Jesus who said, come eat, to these men who've been out all night working and who took bread and fish around and served these hungry men. He is the same Jesus. He provides food for his followers. He serves us. He wants our love. He wants us to take care of each other. He talks to us about life and about death and about bringing glory to his Father. And above all, he wants us to keep following him. It's the same Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, our Lord and our God, with scars in your hands and in your feet, there's a lot of comfort in this chapter. Mostly, it's just that you are the same. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and forever. And thank you for feeding those 7 followers, Lord. Thank you for your gentle way of bringing Peter back into his service for you. Thank you, Lord, for talking straight to him and to us about dying. Thank you for enduring a death you did not want. Thank you, Lord, we will all see the very same Jesus those 7 saw on the shore. Lord, we will see you just like that. We will eat with you just like that. You will serve us just like that. It is a picture of the wedding supper to come. Lord, we love you. You know we love you. And we want always to follow you. So thank you for bringing us into your flock, and thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you that you're coming back. Come, Lord Jesus. This is taking too long. Far too long. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.